Also we study the fresh pasuk to Zayin Lachain. Okay, pasuk to Zayin Lachain. Koyama Hashem. Hashem's response to the Malach. The Malach is complaining to Hashem that how long will you fail to show compassion to Klal Yisrael? It's already been 70 years. It's been 70 years either since the end of Bavel has come to an end, or it has been 70 years since the Churban Beis Hamikdash, and now it's time when it's deserving that you should show compassion, mercy for Klal Yisrael. And indeed Hashem says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu indeed will. So says Hashem. Hashem acknowledges that the time has come and he will pour out his anger upon the nations of the world. Hashem has only been angry a little bit, and they have gone Vehema Ozeru Lira'ah. Let's now go to Pasuk Tezayin. L'chein for Koyim Hashem. So says Hashem, Shafti Lirushalayim Berachamim. Shafti, I have returned. Shafti, I have returned to Yerushalayim Berachamim. Again, on Perik Aleph, Pasuk Tezayin. Beisi Yibonibo, Noam Hashem Tzedakos. My home, it will be built there. So says Hashem, V'kov Yinote Al Yerushalayim, a plumb line. A kav is a line, and the word kav, we have this idea is used there. It's used very often. Out in the kinois, titois he made a red line, and on that red line he slaughtered the Jewish people. The word kav is usually more symbolic than it is literal, and here certainly it's being used symbolically. It represents construction. Or represents, we see it represents both construction and destruction.
Yashrus,
straight and true. Sirtut in the Sefer Torah, before you write a letter in the Sefer Torah, you must etch a line, an invisible line into the parchment as a guide for the writing of the letters of the Sefer Torah. That's also like a kav yinata. There must be a sirtut. Sefer Torah, Tefillin, Mezuzos, Machlex, and the Gemara. What exactly needs sirtut? You have to have every single line requires sirtut, or only the first line needs sirtut. But a kav represents the principle. Oh, kav. So there means a little bit. There, kav l'kav. I think that's the base. If I'm not mistaken, kav l'kav, that passage you got from Yeshaya, has a base, not a vav. But here it says, "V'kov yinate al Yerushalayim," and if you notice that even though we pronounce it "V'kov," which means a line, the way it's spelled in the pasuk is "V'kaveh." V'kaveh means to yearn. So we have to discuss that. Let's see one more pasuk. Pasuk Yitzayin Od Karol Le'mar. Also, I want you to read the following statement to the Jewish people: "Kama Hashem Tzvakos Od Tifu Tzena Arai Mitoyv." Once again, Tifu Tzena. Once again, will they be dispersed? Arai mitoyf. Now, this is a very frightening statement. V'nicham Hashem oid es Tzion. Hashem again will show compassion for Tzion. U'vochar oid b'Yerushalayim. Now, this almost sounds like as if this is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, although HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to rebuild the Bayis Sheni, in this pasuk it's almost explicit that the Bayis Sheni is going to be destroyed. And the Jewish people are going to be dispersed once again. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will select them a third time. Or afterwards. So again, this pasuk is a very frightening pasuk when we take it literally. Let's assume over here that we're describing over here the beginning of the Bayis Sheni, at time of Paras HaMadai. Hashem says that we're now going to rebuild the Bayis Sheni. But guess what? I have bad news to tell you. After the Bayis Sheni is built, Od again, Kuro Le'mar Koyim Hashem Tzavakos, Od again, Tifutzena, Arai Mitov. My city will be dispersed from good. In other words, Klal Yisrael will again go into Golus. The Bayis Sheni will come to an end. The Navi over here is telling that it's not going to last forever. And then when it comes to an end, what's going to happen? But then even after that happens, V'nicham Hashem Od et Tzion, Hashem again will have Rachmanis upon Tzion, U'vachar Od B'Yerushalayim. So it's almost predicting explicitly that it's going to be a Churban of the Bayis Sheni. Although HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to show Rachamim and is going to allow the Bayis Sheni to be rebuilt, it's only temporary. It will be destroyed and we will be dispersed. And then the Acharis Hayomim Hashem will once again have compassion upon the Jewish people and show them mercy and give them comfort and select Yerushalayim once again as his place of residence. Let's take a look at these two psukim in the Mitzvah. It's David Pasuk Tes Zayin. The Pasuk says in the Mitzvah, Lochein Dir for Hoylu Mo'od Heireu LeYisrael, Lochein Kivor Shafti. The word Shafti is in the past tense. Because our enemies have caused us so much pain, so much tsar, Hashem says, I have already returned Es Yisrael LeYerushalayim Mipa'as HaRachamim Im Ki Loi Zochu. Even though they do not deserve. The Ode Yibone Babesi, Velo Yibatel Hamelech Hasabinyan Kedesh Shabidul Karish, and the Melech Daryavesh HaParsi will no longer cancel the permit to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, unlike his predecessor, Karish, who did cancel the permit. This will not happen again. I guarantee that you'll be permitted to continue to build, and it will be fully restored. Even though, according to the Mitzudos, his understanding of the Pasuk, Klal Yisrael is undeserving, they truly do not deserve that this should be the case, yet Hashem says, I will allow this to happen because they have suffered so much. The suffering that they have suffered is enough that even though they do not deserve it, I'm still going to bring about this restoration. And then v'kov yinote. Now we come to this expression, v'kov, a line yinote, a plumb line. When you want to make sure something is level, when you lay bricks, so you've seen in construction, even today, nothing has changed. Well, a little bit has changed. There are some very sophisticated things they do today with lasers.
A little hard to hear.
Okay,
are you okay?
What? Okay, I have to raise my voice. I gotta wait. I have to bring over here. You know, he has his microphone. Maybe I should turn this on. You know, maybe. Maybe later.
Usually,
right.
Usually, when we have our regular.
I have a microphone.
Room, we have a mic.
Oh, okay. But Ode, I'll try to. Kav is a plumb line. Today, I was blown away. I watched some Bali Malacha do construction in the bathroom, and they put on the wall this little teeny device. And it. It created a red laser line around the entire room, perfectly level. I don't know how this device works. He stuck it onto the wall, and it projected around the room a red line around the entire room, perfectly level, as a guide to lay the tiles.
Oh, you mean a horizontal line?
Horizontal line around the entire room. And it's amazing, because if not for that little device, he would have to go probably spend an enormous amount of time with his tools to draw lines with pencils to make it perfectly level. Here you have a modern device, stick it on the wall. There's a plumb line, a modern day plumb line. Probably if you go on Amazon and you type in some, I don't know which exact term you can type in a plumb line, you can see these devices. They have a video and show you how they work. I was blown away. The technology today available in construction, even something similar like this, when you lay tiles in a bathroom or anywhere, to make sure that it's perfectly level with such ease, just by putting a device on the wall, that's it. Right away, you have a plan to lay out the tiles.
Make sure you tell the guy that it's plumb with a B, like a plumber.
Plumb with a B, okay, plumb line. He's making it. I remember I was with Purim. I was with my father in the car. We were going to deliver Mishalach Manos many years ago, and they interviewed an Israeli general, whatever channel, and he said he was talking about does Israel have nuclear weapons? So he said, "I'm telling you, Israel, we have the bomb." He said the word bomb with 100 times, emphasizing the letter B.
Well, because in other languages...
It was hilarious,
other
yeah?
Languages, like French, yeah. B-O-M-B-E. So the B would be pronounced.
Would be pronounced, the bomb. Okay, the plumb line. Even though it's spelled with a B, you don't pronounce the B, the plumb line. And this is a metaphor. It is a mashal used when we discuss construction, because there is nothing more important in construction than that the property be level. We learned this example in Chazal when a ger, a potential ger, approached Shammai and said to Shammai, I want to be a ger, and I don't remember the details, and whatever it was, he asked him all these questions, and Shammai said, get lost, get out of my face, you meshugana, I don't have time for meshugayim, get out of here. He went to Hillel, and Hillel taught him, it says there, I don't remember the exact words of the Gemara, but it has something to do with the Amas HaBinyan. That Hillel... Shammai, the other way around. Shammai, other way, thank you. Shammai pushed him away with what? The Gemara illustrates with the Amas HaBinyan. The Amas HaBinyan, which means the plumb line. The Amas HaBinyan is a tool which is used to make sure the Amas, MS. Amas is means MS. What is MS? It should be straight. It says, Divrei Shalom ve'emes in Megillas Esther, words of peace and MS. From the word MS, Chazal Darshin, that when one writes the Megillah, it has to be perfectly straight. Sirtut. You have to etch a invisible line into the parchment. Parchment is soft. If you take an awl, a sharp edge, and you press it into the parchment, it leaves a permanent impression. That is an obligation. So that when you use that imprint, that impression, as a guide to guarantee that when you write the line, it's perfectly straight.
Right.
And this has...
Amah.
What?
Amah is a straight line.
A straight line. Amas, how, why did Chazal specifically learn this halacha from the word emes? Because there's a tool called the amas. Same letters, Amas HaBinyan, the integrity of MS is truth. Truth also means integrity. The integrity of the building depends on it being level. If it's not level, it will falter. The higher you go, the imperfection is magnified. If you're only building one story and it's not perfectly level, big deal. You go build the Tower of Pisa in Paris?
The Eiffel Tower.
Eiffel Tower is straight, which is the one that's not straight?
In Pisa,
where is that?
Italy.
Italy. Okay, so if the higher you go, the more the imperfection is magnified. In Yadus, we're trying to go very, very, very high. And therefore, it must be microscopically perfect and the foundation, because if the better, the more perfect the foundation, the higher you can rise, and that's called MS. MS is pure, unadulterated perfection, truth, and that's the foundation. Shammai took this fellow and he got rid of him with the Amas HaBinyan. Why did he use the plumb line, the tool that's used with the plumb line?
The Amas is the smichus.
The smichus form of Amas, correct. So I'm saying the smichus of the, well, that's, no, no. So you're saying another pshat. No. Rabbi Chol is saying the pasha pshat. I'm saying the drush.
Oh, okay.
Rabbi Chol is saying that the Amas HaBinyan is not MS. He's saying what I have done is a violation of the laws of grammar and of Hebrew. It's amah as a cubic measure. An amah is approximately the middle finger, from your middle finger until your elbow. That's an amah.
Right.
That's about 1.5 feet to 2 feet. That's called an amah. The middle finger is the amah. And in ancient times, before there were measurements, you would put your hand down on the ground, and from your middle finger until your elbow is called an amma, which if you measure with a ruler is about 18 inches, approximately, maybe a little bit more, not less than 18 inches. And that's what we use for measurement for an amma. So when you take the word amma and you put it in the smichus form, when the word is juxtaposed to another word, then it turns into amas. The hay drops away, and we're left with a suf, the Amas HaBinyan. When we take the word Amah and put it next to the word Binyan, and we want to use the word Amah in its in its smichus form, then it becomes amas habinyan. That is the pshat. Okay, that is what you need to know in grammar school. But after you leave grammar school and you violate all the laws of grammar and you enter into the mystical world of Jewish,
yeshiva boys don't go to even
don't even grammar. And when you go into the world of Jewish, so you look at the word the way it is. In the way it is Aleph, Mem, Saf. Wow, that happens to be the same letters as Emes. Emes. And Emes, Divrei Shalom, the Emes in Megillas Esther. Chazal take the word Emes, truth, integrity, and they use that as a source, as a drasha, to teach us that when you write Kisvei Kodesh, a Sefer Torah, Tefillin, Mezuzah, Megillas Esther, each one has different laws. What exactly are the requirements? And we today were very machmir. We have what's called sirtut in every single line, both the vertical lines and both horizontal, of course, and even vertical where it ends. But that's not necessarily required. On every, there are different rules: mezuzah, tefillin, sefer Torah, megillah. How much sirtut one needs to do, but the basic idea is to guarantee that the words of the Torah are perfectly straight and perfectly justified along the sides. That is a principle called emes, because emes is straight like an arrow and it's level. So the amas habinyan, when you play around with the word amas and you forget about the grammar of ama to amas, and we look at it, the word by itself of Aleph Mem Saf, it means it should be perfectly straight. So Shammai rejected this fellow with this object to indicate you cannot become a Jew if your initiation into Judaism, if your foundation is crooked. You're coming to me here, begging me to teach you the laws of the Torah, to make you into a Ger Tzedek, for the wrong reasons. There's something crooked in your approach as to why you want to be a Jew. So as something symbolic, just like when you build a building, if it's not the foundation is not perfectly level, it will ultimately topple. If your reason, if your initiation into Yadus is crooked from the very beginning, there is no way you will remain Jewish. You will remain an observant Jew for the rest of your life and throughout the generations, because there's something crooked in from the very start. So he took the Amas HaBinyan as a symbol. Get lost. First, correct yourself. And then he went to Hillel, and Hillel took him in. Now, let me tell you a drush. Hillel right away said, okay, you want to be a Jew? Fine, I'll take you. So most people will tell you, Hillel was a nice guy. So Hillel was tolerant. Really? Hillel did not agree with Shammai's principle that if there's something crooked in the very beginning, you will not endure? The answer, so the deeper meaning of the Gemara is the only reason why Hillel was able to convert this fellow is because Shammai already straightened him out. Because of the Seder HaDevarim. If this Ger Tzedek would have gone straight to Hillel and would have said, I want you to convert me, and I don't remember the details of the Gemara, with some crazy Narish Kaifa, some crazy, whatever is Meshigasim, on one foot, if he would have gone,
both of them.
He said the same thing to both of them, but even though he said the same thing to both, you have to look at the Gemara, if he said exactly, look at the nuance of expression, it could be that he didn't say to Hillel exactly the same, he said the same thing, extremely similar, but not exactly. There's a little change in nuance. Let's look at the Gemara. A change in nuance of what he said to Hillel. He already received the Musar of Shammai. The sharp rebuke of Shammai already straightened him out. And now when he went to Hillel and he wanted to learn Kol HaTorah Kula Al Regel Achas, he was already softened. He already got the Musar. And that is why Hillel was able to accept him. Had he gone directly to Hillel without first going to Shammai and getting an insult, Hillel would not have taken him, because Hillel in principle agrees to Shammai. He agrees to Shammai's depth of understanding that you have to be straight from the very beginning. Now, what's the purpose of Darshan Gold, this whole thing about the Amas HaBinyan? Because here we're coming across the Kav. The Kav is the biblical term for the Amas HaBinyan, the leveler. It's the biblical term for the Amas HaBinyan, the Kav, and it's symbolic, it's a metaphor. Whenever we find a Kadosh Baruch Hu using the Kav, it is symbolic of saying that we're now going to begin a new project, a new structure, a new beginning. We're laying the foundation. And when Hashem says, a plumb line will be spread out over Yerushalayim, it's not the wire, it's the principle, it's the mashal, it's the metaphor. We're going to start fresh, but there's a powerful musar in this, in the Kovnate. We're going to start all over again the right way. We're not just going to, okay, let's build a Beis HaMikdash, and there's chaos, everyone is fighting, we should do it this way, we should do it that way. I want the color of the stones to be Jerusalem stones. And someone says, no, we don't want Jerusalem stones, let's get the American stones for the Beis HaMikdash. Everyone's fighting. If you're going to fight, bicker, and not build it with Yirah Shamayim, this structure has no hope whatsoever. There's a very deep metaphor in the Pasuk telling us that when the building, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to rebuild, it has to be rebuilt with MS, with integrity, with Yirah Shamayim. We have to start all over again, fresh, from the ground, from roots, from grassroots, with purity. The Kav Yinot al Yerushalayim. Now, we have to also remember the word Kav Yinot. Let's borrow from the principle that we say many times. Many words, when you manipulate their vowels, we turn into the complete opposite. Yishrash, Yisharesh. We had an example not so long. We had all different examples of this principle. The same way you have that principle in words, where you manipulate their vowels, you can go mikotzeh el hakotzeh, from one extreme to another. The same principle is true in metaphors. Just like the kov yinote represents the beginning of a new project, starting fresh, kov yinote also represents Churban, destruction, to completely obliterate and undo something. In the Kinois on Tisha B'Av, and Kina, I think it's Kina Tesvav, or Kina Tezayin, the famous Kina when Titois HaRasha enters into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and he takes out his sword, and he stabs the Paroiches, and it bleeds, and his metami the lechem upon him, and we read about the history of him coming in. It says there, almost one of the first lines of that kina, that Titois, he spread out a line, a red line. The same exact word, same exact concept. What's going on? The answer is because words and concepts can go from one extreme to the other. Just like Kav represents the laying of the foundation, Kav also represents the undoing of the foundation. It's an expression, it's a metaphor that we're going to take this structure and we're going to uproot it and bring it back to its state, the state that it existed before you began to lay the foundation. The first thing you do when you do construction is you spread out the kov, the plumb line, to make sure, as a guide, to make sure that it's level. You always see in the street these guys with these helmets and tripods, and they're looking through these little glass windows. What in the world are these guys doing? Okay, whatever they're doing, they're making all these different measurements. It's always the first step when you see these guys out there with their binoculars on these tripods. You know what that means? Give it a week or two, there'll be tractors here, and they'll be digging up the street and making a lot of noise and a lot of garbage and a lot of traffic and nowhere to park. That's what it means. It's the beginning of the end for a long time. And that's like the kavanote. That's the kavanote. So when you say that the titus, he laid out the kavanote, I'm going to bring this mokoim back to zero like it was before you started. Because when before you start with that kav. And chol, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's the same idea of Yemos HaMashiach. Before the new order can take over, the old order has to be
dismissed, cleared out, cleaned away. Cleaned away. So in this pasuk, we're doing something very good. We're coming to do kav. We're coming to lay the line. Now, over here, there's a beautiful ksiv. The ksiv is kaveh. Okay, kaveh el Hashem chazak. V'yameitz libecha v'kaveh, twice, v'kaveh el Hashem. What does kaveh mean? The word kav really is the root of the word of kaveh is kav, a line. A line related to, it means hope, yearning. To put your hope, your faith, it's a very hard word to translate. Kaveh el Hashem. Hope, yearn or put your confidence, show confidence in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hope, put your hope in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When you begin a new project, obviously you have a lot of hope, tikva. You have a lot of faith that from this project will come very good things, very great benefit will come. Laying the plumb line is not just a part of the process of construction to make sure that it's straight. When it's the very first thing you do when you build, the very first thing you need to do when you build is to have hope. It's to believe that this project will be successful and will bring benefit and blessing to the world and to the people that will benefit from what we are building. There's hope. You inject your emotion, your feeling. The word kaveh is a word of emotion. It's not a word of just bricks and stones. There is pure emotion. Kaveh el Hashem. Hope, yearn for Hashem to come and bring salvation. And yet the same word, we're taking that word, we're extracting those letters and using it to represent the very first step in construction. Why? Because it goes hand in hand. You can't begin to build unless you have faith, you have hope that something good will come from your hard labor, your effort, your investment of time, money, and effort. So these two words are definitely related, and indeed here we see that they're so related that there's a kri uchsif. It says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a lot of hope. V'kaveh yinote al Yerushalayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will inject in the people, in the minds of the people, hope. And Hashem also has confidence, hope. Hashem has emuna in us. He's hoping we will do the right thing and this structure will last forever. We say this every single day. We always discuss this beautiful idea. Moda ani lefanecha. The first thing we say in the morning, melechai v'kayam shachzarta b'nishmasi v'chemla. And then we say, rabah, great emuna secha. What do those two words mean? So in the art school, it will tell you it means, which is correct. Rabbah, it is a great thing to have faith in you, Hashem. Rabbah, it's a basic principle. It's a great, exalted principle of life. Emunah secha, for man to show his faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, that's the Pashup Shat. And that's how they teach us in school. That's the Pashup Shat. However, that's difficult, because if that's really what it means, it should say, Rabbah, it's not perfect, 100% grammatically correct. It should say, I don't remember the perfect expression, but if it really means to have faith in Hashem, it should say Rabba Emuna, or I don't know, I have to think about it. But because it's a bit problematic, there's another interpretation which really, really is extremely satisfying. And that interpretation is, great is the faith that you, Hashem, have in us. In other words, when we wake up in the morning, we ask ourselves, Hashem, why did you wake me up? I was sleeping comfortably, and you took my neshama. When a person goes to sleep, Chazal tell us, it's equivalent to 1/60th of death. When a person goes to sleep. So when I wake up in the morning, it's Techiyah Sameisim. Hashem, why did you do this? Let me sleep. Let me just expire. You want to wake me up? It's very likely that if you wake me up and you let me live out the day, I will do many, many averos. I will cause grief to people. I will violate her. I will violate. I do averos ben adam lachaveroi ben adam lamakoim. Why did you bring me back to this world this morning? And the answer is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has faith in us that we will not do averos, that we will do mitzvos, that we will succeed and bring him nachas, rabba emunasecha, the faith that you, Hashem, have in us is extremely great. I don't have such faith in myself. I don't have such faith in other men. But obviously, Hashem, the fact that you brought me back to this world this morning and you brought back everyone else this morning indicates that you, Hashem, have faith in us. You believe in us. You have faith that we indeed will succeed. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has hope, faith. I mean, hope and faith are very much related. Excuse me?
It froze?
Okay, is it okay, Ben? Is it okay now?
You're freezing.
I'm freezing, okay. I know, turn on the heat. I have to turn on the heat. If I'm freezing, turn on the heat. Okay, let me plug in this wire just in case. I'm on Wi-Fi. You see, I have here a cable. You see that?
While you do it, I say something about Natakav.
Yeah.
כתוב, ויית משה את ידו על הים, וישוב הים לפנות בוקר לאיתנו. He put his hand down על הים, and the yam became straight like it was before. ויית משה את ידו על הים. I guess it was straight this way, not up. Before he put it up, but then he put it down level together, so the yam should be leveled again.
It should be. I understand. Explain it again. What do you mean? Vayet.
What does it got to do with this?
Vayet Moshe et yado al hayam.
Yeah.
Moshe put his hand.
Level. He made a level. He stretched it out.
Level horizontal.
Horizontal to make it level.
So the yam became straight the way.
It stood vertical. Now, Vayet, to make it, until now it was vertical, it was horizontal, now he made it vertical.
The yam stood like two in the Shnei, Shnei Kirot, so he wanted
to... Okay, I hear.
The way it was before.
To return, to restore it. All right, so there's a relationship, so what we have discussed... Okay, so what we have discussed over here is the word Kav. Kav means the plumb line. Plumb line is called the Amas HaBinyan. We find it by Shammai and Hillel. We find the plumb line. The plumb line represents the integrity of a structure, MS, and the chosam. And we also, the word MS, by the way, is Chazal say is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's signet ring. The Aleph Beis begins with the letter Aleph, ends with the letter Tav. The middle letter is Lamem. It spans the beginning to the end. And a Kav is used in Tanakh and in Chazal is a reference to the very, very beginning and the very, very end. The very beginning is to lay, well, end as in Churban, Chas V'Shalom. The beginning is to lay down the plumb line before we begin a project, and Chas V'Shalom is a Churban. It's also the same imagery is used to express the idea that the destruction will be so complete, it will bring back this mokim to the way it was before you ever began, to the initial state of when you began to plan. And here HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling us now that he's beginning to build Yerushalayim, and he also means hope. He has great aspirations and hope that they will succeed. Yearns comes from the notion of yearning, and in the beginning of every project there has to be an emotional desire and confidence and yearning that there should be success. Okay, Pasik, you know, the Panavitcherov, when the Panavitcherov, when he did, when there was the cornerstone laying ceremony for Panovich, so he said, I don't remember the details, but he said something like that this cornerstone was laid with tears. Is Hazoirim Bedima Berina Yiktsaru. The cement. To make cement, you have to have water. Where do you get the water from? Where do you get water to mix with the powder to make the cement for the cornerstone? You know where you get it from? Your tears. You cry, you mispalel to Hashem that this yeshiva, this makom, should be a makom of kedusha. And you take those tears, and those tears you mix with the powder to make the cement to lay the first stone. The Chasam Sofer, they said the Chasam Sofer, do you believe this? It's hard to believe this is true, but this is what it says in all the books. The Chasam Sofer, Erev Yom Kippur, the Suda Hamafsekes, on Erev Tisha B'Av, he leaned Eicha on Erev Tisha B'Av, he cried, he filled up an entire cup of tears. That's what it says in the books. And then at the Suda HaMafsekes, he drank it.
Oy vey.
That's what it says. That's what he did. He drank those tears. So a person can give up so many tears to make a whole cup, a whole cup, and to take that cup, to mix it with tit, with powder, to make cement, to lay the first brick. You can imagine that such a mokoyim will last forever. When it's built l'shem shamayim, with tears like that, such a mokoyim will have a kiyum for, it's indestructible. On the other hand, if you build a building for kavod, for honor, to show up someone else, to fight, and all these other horrible reasons why a tax shelter. Okay, I once was horrified. Someone said to me, whispered in my ear, you know, this koilel here, this certain koilel over here, you know what it's all about? I don't think it's true, it's a lie, but he said it to me, something very frightening. Well, you think this billionaire, he needs a koilel? They made the koilel as a tax shelter. Because there's a koilel, it's a bank account, and in the bank account they can shove in there millions of dollars, which is not taxable. So the whole koilel, it's not really l'shem shemayim. The whole koilel is just there as a tax shelter. So let me ask you, which koilel would you want to learn in? In a koilel that was only established as a technique to avoid paying taxes, to stuff the account there with $1 billion that the government can't touch, can't get their hands on, or to go to a koilel that when they laid the foundation, the people that were involved cried their hearts out that this mokum should be a place where people gain Yirah Shamayim, and they cried and cried and cried, for real. It's a different world. You know, after World War II, when the She'eres HaPlita came to America, and even before World War II, in the beginning of the 20th century, and World War I, all of the people, they escaped the pogroms and the horrors of Europe and Russia, what was going on the other side of the Atlantic, and they came to America, There were no yeshivas, there was nothing. It was a midbar. And as they would say that in America, even the stones are treif. Okay, it was a har. And unfortunately, millions of people disappeared. They just disappeared into thin air. Many people who came from the most choshva family that came to America, there was no chinuch habanim. And there were people who got together with great mesiras nefesh at a time when it was extremely unpopular and there wasn't a penny to be found. Unlike today, people build mansions wherever you turn. There was no Jewish money those days. There was nothing to eat. And they were moiser nefesh to build yeshivas. When they built those yeshivas, they were built mamish l'shem shamay. They were built with one kavana, chinuch habanim, that the refugees, those who escaped, should have a place to learn, to be yireim u'shleimim, and not chas v'shalom go off the derech. Today, it's very sad that all the yeshivas that are built today, all the new yeshivas, are they really built l'shem shamay? Let's be honest, they really build l'shem shamayim? Anach, I don't want to be chas v'shalom, but you know, people need jobs. It's just, you know, it's a way to make money. It's a way to occupy yourself. It's a way of a shtela, a little covid. You have a little parnasa. You'll have something to give to your children. It's horrible. I mean, it's not horrible, but what's the alternative? What's the alternative? The alternative is to whatever the alternatives are. But it's very obvious today that many new moistos, it's not like it, like it's not, it can't be. Baruch Hashem, we're not living in a time where we need it. But 70 years, 100 years ago, when yeshivas were established, it was clear it was established with great mesiras nefesh, because if we don't have a yeshiva, there's not going to be Klal Yisrael. And it was done mamish l'shem shemayim. The foundation was laid hazoidim bedima berina yiksaru. It was kov yinote with kavei yinote. Al tikre kov el kavei, with a yearning of kavei el Hashem. Chazak v'yameitz libecha. Today, b'chaste Hashem, we won the war. Baruch Hashem, we won the war. And we're here, the people, Baruch Hashem, Yirei Mushleimim. And now, people are doing a lot of interesting things, but don't tell me it's the same, the foundation of these, of many of the things that are established today, it comes anywhere near, it's everything. Mitoch Sheloy Lishma Baal Lishma. Anach Hashem, I wouldn't be any different. If I had an opportunity, when I hear about people that are corrupt, I say to myself, if I was in their shoes, I would be 10 times more corrupt. How do I know? Because I was in their shoes, and I was and I was 10 times more corrupt. Okay, the few little times in my life that Itaka had authority, I know, it got to me. I got a little ahead of myself. So don't judge anyone. I learned the hard way. Don't judge anyone, but there is this principle of kav kavei. Next pasuk, next mitzvah, stavi pasuk yud zayin. Pasuk yud zayin. Oid kirole mar. I want you to give out the following announcement. Another announcement. Gam ze midiri hamalach shamar lenov lehanavi. Oid kirole mar. Make the following statement. Ezois, oitufutsena, ritsoine loimar, od yavoi churban, vigolus alabai sashen. Now, it's an amazing, it's much explicit. We translated this, and it's just shocking. It's beferish in the pasuk. That Hashem, Zechariah is saying that the bayasheni is not going to last. The bayasheni is only a temporary structure. This bayas, although HaKadosh Baruch Hu has great hope and great yearning, the end is going to be, it's going to be destroyed. And you will be dispersed throughout the entire world. But don't worry, after that happens, give or take 1,950 years in the year Tavshin Pei Aleph, 2020, Hashem will once again select Yerushalayim as the Makom Hashuas Hashchina and bring comfort to the Jewish people with Mashiach. That's what it says. Od Yavoy Churban V'Golus Al HaBayis Hasheni, on the second bayis. V'Yafutzu Yoshvei Ara Yehuda, they will be dispersed, Mikol Tov. The Yischu min ha'aretz satov. The Yischu means they will be dragged. Yischu means to be dragged away. You'll be pulled out of your home and dispersed to the nations of the world, amongst the nations of the world. But then Hashem says, "Worry not, v'nicham. I will provide comfort." The achar ezeh b'geula ho'asido yinachem Hashem oid esiyim v'yifchar oid b'Yerushalayim u'cha'omer hinei oz tia geula shelema. Then will become the ultimate geula, gulas oylam v'oz yimshlu heim al kol umos. And then he says that we will rule over all the nations. That's already the next pasuk. That's already the next section. And then we will be dominant over the entire world. Now let's look at Rashi. These two psukim, Rashi tazayin. The kav yinote lamod choymosecha orka virochba. Now I told you mitzudas. We learned the mitzudas, which means the mitzudas makes it clear as day. The kav hamishkoiles, the plumb line. Okay, the plumb line. There are weights. There's some technique that you use with a line. Livno is choymasuir. It represents building. The calf hamishkoiles,
so like a pendulum effect until it settles down.
To make it straight, to make it a pendulum, gravity to make with the weights, that's to make it vertical. Okay, the calf hamishkoiles with the weight represents it should be vertically straight, vertical. How do you make it horizontal? That's another technique. That's with water. We use a level. We use water. Okay, but with the weight, until you have a weight. And you take a rope on top, and you let and you tie a weight to the bottom, and you let it stop. That makes it through gravity perfectly straight. Right, so that was what we learned until now. Rashi disagrees all the way around. Rashi came before the mitzvahs. Rashi says it's not what it means. It means measurement. Measurement. You learn Masechta Erevin. Many of you here are learning Daf Yomi. You learn about the tchum. The Gemara says, how do you measure the tchum? It's very complicated. The basic, if you have flat land, or pretty much flat, you use ropes of 50 amos. Goldilocks. Not more and not less. Because if it's too big, if the ropes are too long, then you're going to slack.
It'll be slack.
Slack. And if it's too short, you're gonna stretch. What are you gonna stretch? When it's gonna be, it's not gonna be accurate. It's gonna. What was what you said? It's gonna.
Slack down.
And if the ropes are less than sag, it's gonna sag. Yep. And if the ropes are less than 50 amos, then you're gonna pull them. It's not gonna be 50. You're gonna pull it too tight, and you're gonna stretch them. So it's not gonna be accurate. So Chazal made a calculation. They determined that the best ropes that will be perfectly accurate are ropes of 50 amos. To measure. And then there's a discussion, what happens if there's a slope, if there's a pit, there's a ditch, all different techniques, what to do, four amol ropes, that there are steps, this, that, okay, that's a discussion. But ropes are used to measure. Rashi learns the reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu here is using ropes is measurement. Measurement. And that creates an entirely new approach to understand what's taking place in this pasuk. According to them, so we're going to spend a whole 45 minutes explaining the Mitzvah of David. It's a new beginning. A new beginning has to be perfectly level, perfectly straight. Rashi doesn't know, it's not a new beginning. We're now making calculations. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is calling out, and he's saying, the kav yinote, we're going to make a calculation, a cheshbon. We're going to measure with length. That's not new construction. That's, we're going to give you now what you need to prepare you for what's coming. Rashi, what Rashi says fits much better into the next pasuk. According to Rashi, if you look at Rashi, not literally, you know, just to measure the width and the length of the land, the next pasuk is a very harsh pasuk. After you build the Beis HaMikdash and you resettle in the land, there's going to be another Churban. And that Churban is going to last a very long time. We're already up to approximately 1,950 years. And then Hashem will come back. He will give us comfort and he will select Yerushalayim once again. So what's the purpose then? What is the purpose then of the Bayis Sheni? If anyway we're going to be in Golus for 1,950 years, so what's the difference? So we'll be in Golus for 2,500 years. Why was it necessary? The answer is, we need it. We need a boost. We need a flu shot. We need a vaccine to get us through what's coming. We need a little boost. But because you need a boost, you don't need the full glory. You don't need to have the 10 miracles that existed in the Bayis Rishon to return to the Bayis Sheni. That's superfluous. You're not deserving of anything. That's how the Mitzvah Stavit said before. You don't deserve anything. You're not interested. I gave you opportunities to come back to Yerushalayim to rebuild. You want to stay in Golos. You're happy. You want to intermarry. You're not interested. So the truth is, you don't deserve nothing. That's what the Mitzvah Stavit said. But because you suffered so much, or because the rate that you're going, you're not going to be around in 2,000 years for there to be a Gula Hasida. So I got to do something to fortify you so that you'll survive. There'll be someone around in 2,000 years to bring the Gula Shlema. So for that, I don't have to give you everything. You don't need a Tesla. I give you a Chevy. I give you some old, go to the junkyard. We'll get you we'll find something there. We'll take a battery from this car. We'll take an engine from this car. We'll put together a concoction. You'll have an automobile. Just make sure the cop doesn't pull you over and look for the inspection sticker. We'll get you through. So to get you through, let's make a calculation of what you need. Let's measure. There's a measurement taking place. Al derech pshat, the measurement is l'orka u'l'rochba. But it's much deeper than that. The kav yinote is, listen, you deserve nothing. We need to get you. We got to fortify you. Let's make a cheshbon. What are your basic necessities that are necessary to get you where you? And that's what you're going to get. Not a drop more. We do know that in the Bayis Sheni, they didn't conquer the whole land. When they took back Eretz Yisrael during the time of Ezra Nechem, they took back a fraction. They took back only a small fraction of the original land that they possessed during the time of Shlomo HaMelech. They didn't take it back, the whole land. And in fact, because they did not take back the land, many places consider that a major chunk of Eretz Yisrael doesn't even have Kedushas Haaretz. Because Kedusha Rishonah Kitcha L'Shaita V'loi Kitcha L'Asalava. Kedusha Shnia, Kitcha L'Shaita, V'Kitcha L'Asalava, but only what they conquered. They didn't, the biblical boundaries of Eretz Yisrael are massive. And in order for that to have the Kedusha Asaretz for Truma, for Meiser, for Shemitah, for all these inyanim, you have to give it Kedusha. You have to conquer it and live there. And unfortunately, during the time of Ezra, they didn't take back much of the land. They took back only a small portion. And that's why today there are so many debates in different sections of Eretz Yisrael. Are they really chayiv in Shumas and Maestros? Are they really chayiv in Shemitah? There are very, very, very serious discussions about what status certain parts of what we call Eretz Yisrael. Yet, Eretz Yisrael, in the Bible, it's Eretz Yisrael. But during the time of the Bayis Sheni, were there any Jews living here? Well, yeah, this is a big hot topic. And there are a lot of doubts. And because of a lot of doubts, there are a lot of halakhic ramifications in many sections of the land, yeah?
If we are being given just enough to survive the long golas,
yeah.
Is that enough for us to earn our redemption on our own?
Of course.
Really?
Why not? Whatever.
Because it's a tough golas.
It is, certainly.
And the pressures of golas, you know, keep us pretty much from doing what we ought to be doing.
Absolutely, but Hashem, if Hashem gave us this, so we have a right to assume that we have the tools that we need to survive.
No, I wasn't speaking. Historically
speaking, after the story of Hanukkah, with 40 years of war that they had, 40 years by the time of Shimon, the last of the ones, after 40 years after the story of Hanukkah took place, they had almost the whole Eretz Yisrael for a short time.
Interesting. Now,
that's when they went back and they got so much of the country back.
So the Shiloh
was just a window.
But when they took it back, does that mean when they took it back, did they also sanctify it?
I doubt it, because it was a lot of
land.
You know,
how do you sanctify it? See, that was the whole thing with Nehemiah, when they built Yerushalayim. There's a very elaborate procedure. They marched.
They walked up with, like we learned in Ezra.
Right, with the carbon toida.
They walked around the
land.
Right.
I mean, how does all these are mysteries. There is no real clarity in all these things. These are all mysteries.
In terms of actually taking back land, that was the one period of time that they almost took back the whole land of Israel for that little period of time before the Romans started to move in little by little.
See, it's very fascinating that this whole thing, the peace with all the normalization with the United Emirates, and now all these other countries are trying to join the bandwagon. But you know, that comes at a very big price, because the original plan was annexation, sovereignty, which would mean Israel, the state of Israel, would declare that this is our land, it's our property, and the Arab nations they didn't want to accept it, and as a concession prize they normalized relations with us. But that came, I mean, it's an incredible thing, it's awesome. I mean, I don't think we even appreciate
all is not lost yet.
Exactly.
It hasn't come yet.
But it's like we don't even have really no idea of, I mean, what's Hashem is running this world. But at this point, it's bittersweet. I mean, I don't know if you can say that. I don't mean to say that peace is sweet. That there's nothing to talk about that. Peace is sweet. But from a biblical perspective, it's bittersweet. Because from a biblical perspective, it's our land, whether you like it or not. And to be moichel the land to the Arabs in exchange for peace, like I said, practically speaking, is a zis, peace. But from a biblical perspective, this is the land that Hashem gave you. Don't be shy, don't be embarrassed. It's your land. What do you have rachmanis on these people? What are you having rachmanis? It's a very complicated world.
They didn't give it up. They still think it, but they're officially.
It's very complicated. It's delayed. It's going to be a very big delay.
It's our land. That's it.
It's a delay.
We sit there.
Okay. This is an old story, but it's a very. This is nothing new. This struggle that if Hashem says it's your land, it's your land. What are you embarrassed? Don't be embarrassed.
Yeah, Rabbi Levin,
yeah.
You mentioned before Tavshin Pei Aleph, our year now. Can I say something
on
the Yonah D'Yoma that I was thinking? We sang in Avinu Malkeinu every day. Avinu Malkeinu, Mana, Magefa. We want the Magefa to leave, the COVID. So I was thinking, I figured it out, that we want Hashem, Avinu, he's our Tata, our father. So you have Avinu, Mana, Minachlosecha. Those three words is Gematria 777. And then if you take Magefa, four letters, Mem Gim, those four letters, 777 and 4 is 781. So you have Mamish our year.
Okay.
And then add on Magefa.
Four letters.
781. Hopefully it'll be Mikuyim.
However you get to the result is fine with me, as long as you achieve the result.
As long as
the result is
achieved.
Yeah.
There are four times the word Od. Just look at the word. It's unbelievable.
Od? Od?
Four times.
Od, wow, time. Very good. Yeah, that's talk very good. Od, four times.
Od. Futsena, Arei, Arei Mito.
Od.
The four Galism, yeah.
More is yet to come. The best is yet to come. All right, we're going to stop over here. We're going to take a short break, and then we're going to discuss the laws of a crash course. And we only have one day left. Today's really our last day, because tomorrow is Erev Shabbos. Tomorrow we'll do more Drush on Yom Kippur. Sunday, we're not going to learn. And Sunday night is the Yom HaKadosh. It's the Yom HaKadosh. So today really is our last day to go through some halacha, the halachas of Yom HaKippurim, and we're going to spend the remainder of the time after the short break on Yom Kippur. Okay, so I'll see you back in a few seconds.